Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
We've been in a series called Better Ministry. And so we've been in this several weeks now. Now, we have taken some breaks after we started this series. And we've had some great services in between some of these sermons. Last week, how many were here were able to be here for Pentecost Sunday last Sunday? We had an awesome Pentecost Sunday last week, but we're going to pick back up in the series today. And so this is a series that is based upon what we are calling the five basic or the five foundational ministries that Jesus says he's come to do in Luke chapter 4 as he read a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. And so this is what happened, just to remind everybody and set up again and remind everybody of what we talked about. Jesus went to his hometown in Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue there, the church there, the gathering place on the Sabbath day. And then he preaches in that synagogue, really an 8-word sermon that got all the people tore up there. I mean, it got them in a hissy fit. So much so they wanted to take him to the edge of the city and throw him off a cliff. Right? And so we're just going to read what he read from Isaiah. We're going to read that again this morning, and then we'll get into a little more of what I believe the Lord wants us to talk about today. This is Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. This is our staple scripture, our foundational scriptures for this series. They'll put it on the screen, but you follow along. I encourage you, bring your Bible. Bring your Bible to church, right? I love the digital Bibles too. I use that a lot of times when I'm out and about, but man, there's nothing like having one in your hand. It's just like carrying a sword around, right? So if you can, bring your Bible to church. Now, they'll put it on the screen for you, but then you can turn and follow along too. Luke chapter 4, 16 through 20. So he came to Nazareth, he being Jesus, where he had been brought up, where he was raised. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Says, then he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Okay? So we've covered three of these things that Jesus says he's come to do. In the first week, we covered where Jesus said he's come to preach the gospel to the poor. And we said that the first ministry that Jesus come to do was to save. How many are glad Jesus is in the saving business, right? Thank God he was sent to seek and to save that which was lost, because I was lost and he found me. I didn't find Jesus, he found me. He came and found me. I was drenched in the sins and the stains of this world and this life, and he came and he saved me. He washed me clean, forgave me of all those sins. He clothed me in a robe of his righteousness, and thank God he came and is in the saving business, because he saved a wretch like me. Amen? Anybody else he saved in the house? Okay, then in our second week, we talked about these two lines that Jesus said in verse 18. He said, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And we talked about this, but that word oppressed right there in the Greek is thraou. And that means to break, to shatter, to crush, or to bruise. And so that week, in the second week, we talked about inner emotional healing. We talked about how we all have had, really in different seasons of our lives, we've had our hearts broken. Some of us have had our hearts shattered and battered and bruised, and we've endured some internal trauma that we've had to deal with. And so a lot of us have been damaged internally and emotionally. But Psalm chapter 147 verse 3 says, wait, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And so that was the week that we had Miss Darian Bradfield come up here and testify about all the inner healing that God had brought to her life and how that actually changed and transformed her life. All these outer manifestations that had attached themselves to her when she really accepted God's healing for her internally, all those things began to fall off for her. And then 2 weeks ago, we actually talked about liberty. We talked about liberty because Jesus said he had come to proclaim liberty to the captives. And we said, when God speaks, things happen, right? In the beginning, God said, right? And things just happen. So when God speaks, things happen. We also discussed in John chapter 8, where Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It shall make you free. And he also said, whom the Son sets free, he's the Son, right? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I believe so many people really got free a couple weeks ago because they realized one of the greatest things you could ever realize in this life, that they are a son or a daughter of the living God, and he came and he died and he bled for them and he rose again with healing in his wings for them, right? And so, if you are bound by anything in this life, you don't have to stay bound because he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. There's freedom in Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom. And so now we're gonna move on to today's topic, and that's gonna be healing. We're gonna talk about healing. And so we talked about inner and emotional healing, but this week, and really the week after baptism, we're gonna talk about spiritual healing today, spiritual healing, and then in 2 weeks, we're gonna talk about physical and mental healing. And we're taking that from this line that Jesus said right here in Luke 4:18. He said, and recovery of sight to the blind. Okay, and so that's a twofold meaning, and I'm gonna show you what I mean by that. That was a dual meaning, that he's talking about spiritual and physical healing. How many know that Jesus, when he came, he took stripes on his back, he went to the cross, he came and he paid for our healing on all levels. On all levels. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, he paid for it. And I'm not just saying that, I'm gonna show you that in scripture, right? Don't take my word for it, take his word for it. Okay, so I'm gonna show you that with one of my favorite scriptures. If you've been around Remnant any time or been around me at any time, you've probably heard me quote it preaching, you probably heard me quote it praying, or you heard me quote it talking to you. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I pray it all the time because it's his word. It's not my word, and there's power in his word, right? I could give you my words till I'm blue in the face, but I can give you his word and it'll change your life, right? Because it's not mine, it's his. Isaiah 53:5, right? It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. That is spiritual healing. That's what it's talking about, spiritual healing. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That is mental and emotional healing. If you don't have peace internally and emotionally and mentally, you can have that through Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. He paid for your peace. He paid for you to have peace, okay? And then by his stripes we are healed. That's physical healing. Okay, we believe in all those. Okay, and I tell people all the time when I'm going to pray for them, I go to the hospital. I'm praying for them. I'll tell this story. I told it Wednesday night. But me and Wayne Jones, we were doing some. He went with me on some hospital visits last week. Was that Thursday? Thursday, last Thursday. And we went around. We prayed for several people, a couple friends of his, and a couple other people. But we went into this one guy, and he had been bitten by a rattlesnake. That's how he ended up in the hospital. But after he'd been bitten by a rattlesnake, they were treating him. They found out that he had a 90-something percent blockage in his heart. And so him getting bit by that rattlesnake actually saved his life because they found this blockage that prevented him from having a massive heart attack. And he had open heart surgery. So I prayed with him. I went and saw him before the surgery. I saw him after his surgery. And so Wayne was with me when we went back and he was laying there. And he'd been through open heart surgery and he looked a little weak and down, right? And so we get in there, we talked to him for a little while, and I said, hey, we're gonna pray for you. He got on one side of the bed, I got on the other, we both grabbed his hand. We began to pray, and man, I felt the power of God when we were praying. I just felt our help come. And we finished, we said amen, and this guy just kept, when I said amen, he squeezed my hand harder, and he kind of pulled it towards him. And I was wondering, is he just doing this to me, or is he doing it to Wayne too? But I opened my eyes, and this guy was laying in the bed, and he's wide-eyed, and he was like this right here. And I looked at him, And he just kept holding our hand, squeezing, and he said, I tell you what, I feel better already. Prayer works. Prayer works. I mean, he completely changed. His demeanor, his face, everything changed. He's like, I feel better already. But I go and pray for people a lot. I go to the hospitals a lot. I spend a lot of time at the hospitals. And I go to pray for people's physical healing. But I tell people all the time, the greatest healing you could ever receive is spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. So we need our spiritual eyes and ears to be opened so we can see and hear who Jesus really is as our Lord and Savior, okay? But the problem is many people are spiritually blind or they've been blinded by the God of this age. Let me give you scripture on that. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, Jesus perfectly revealed God to us, he is the image of God, should shine on them. So I would say, if we read that scripture, those two verses right there, I would say that spiritual healing, having spiritual eyes to see, ears to hear, minds open to understand, that are open to the light and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would say that that's pretty important, and let me tell you why. Because it says those who are veiled or those who are blinded to it, it says they are perishing. They're perishing. So they need spiritual healing from that spiritual blindness, okay? And that's what I'm going to focus on and talk about today, spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness that steals our understanding. Still, if our spiritual eyes and ears are not open to receive and hear, then it steals our understanding as the people of God, okay? So let's go to John chapter 9. I'm going to show you a clear example of this, physical and spiritual healing, but we're going to focus on the spiritual today, spiritual blindness. John chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11, and then I'll skip down and read towards the end of that chapter, okay? It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Just circle saw. He saw a man. Underline circle saw. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed to him. So he's saying, hey, sin didn't cause him to be blind. A certain sin didn't cause him to be blind. His parents wasn't out sinning, and now God's stricken him with blindness. No, it's part of living in a fallen world. Sin caused it, but it's not a specific sin caused this guy to be blind, right? So the glory of God, the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground, and he made clay with the saliva. Jesus did some crazy stuff. People think we crazy. Jesus would be spitting in people's eyes, making mud. He'd be like, see. Yeah, people would have kicked Jesus out of church nowadays. They would have. That's what the religious people did in his day. They're like, oh, we don't want you in here. You crazy. No, he literally spit and made mud with his saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This man was healed. His blinded eyes were open. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. So people didn't really know. Like, wait, is this guy or is that just the guy that looks like him? But then check this out. He said, I am he. He's like, look, there's no question about it anymore. Yes, I'm that guy. I'm him. I was the blind guy. I've been blind since I was born. But now I see, I'm he. It's me, right? Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? It's amazing. And he answered and said, a man called Jesus. I could end right there. A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Okay. Now, this guy's healed miraculously. This healing, just like Jesus' message in Luke 4, but this healing caused quite a stir. People knew and they recognized this man because he had been blind since birth. And in that day of that culture, if you were blind or crippled, you sat on the street and you begged for alms. That's the only way you got anything, right? You weren't able to work, so you begged for alms. People recognized this guy because he would be out begging for alms. He was not able to work. And the Pharisees, when they see this and they see this transpire, they did not like it at all. Let me tell you why. Because they said Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Just because it was on the Sabbath day. You know, just like we talked about 2 weeks ago when we talked about liberty. Y'all remember this? Jesus actually healed the woman in the synagogue there who it says was bound by a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. And Jesus heals her, and the ruler of the synagogue there got mad about it. He said, you could have healed on any other day, but you had to heal on the Sabbath, on church day. It's crazy. So they got upset that he healed him on the Sabbath. You go and you read the rest of this chapter, and you can find out this is pretty much what happened. They grabbed this blind man that had been healed, and they put him on a religious trial. They put him in a religious trial, actually him and his parents, really. And so they wanted an explanation. They said, we want to know what happened. We want an explanation. But the kicker was they did not want the explanation to be that Jesus healed him. That's right. We don't want it to be that. But that was the only explanation the guy had. He's like, I don't know what else to tell you. He's like, all I know is a man named Jesus showed up. He made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash it, and I was blind since I've been born, and now that's all I know. It was Jesus. That was his story, and he was sticking to it because that's what happened. And so they listened to this, and you know what they did afterwards? They kicked him out of the church. They kicked him out. They kicked him out of the church for getting healed and then testifying about it when they asked him to testify. Now, let's go read what happened right after that, okay? We skip down. This is still John chapter 9, verses 35 through 41. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, look, Jesus saw him at the beginning, and then he goes and finds him right here. Man, I preach a whole nother message right there. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He worshiped him. And Jesus said, listen what he said. This is what we're going to go with. For judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see. Catch this, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to Jesus, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Now, obviously, right here, there are two types of blindness that Jesus is dealing with and two types of blindness that he's addressing here in John chapter 9. He's healed and addressed the physical blindness of this man who was blind since birth, but he's also addressing the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees, religious leaders, and other people who refuse to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and he's saying, you're spiritually blind. This man was physically blind, but you're still blind. You think you can see, but you are spiritually blind. The amazing thing about Jesus to me and his ministry, as you read about it and you walk it out and you study the scriptures, as he walked this earth, Jesus dealt with things on so many levels, right? He's dealing with physical, spiritual, emotional. He's dealing with so many things. The things he said are multi-leveled always. There's so much more than what meets the eye. There's a spiritual side to it, okay? And so if we have spiritual eyes open, then we're able to see that through this book, right? If those spiritual eyes are open to it. Because if there's one thing I know, we like that man who was born blind, we're born blind in a sense, spiritually. But this is what I know. Jesus came to give recovery of the sight to the blind, okay? So it's important that our eyes are spiritually open, because this is a spiritual book. It's the living, breathing, moving word of God, right? Right? It is inspired. All scripture is inspired. It is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. So this is a spiritual book. And so we need spiritual eyes open to really understand it. Because you can actually be spiritually blind to this book and not understand it, and you could just see it as another book. Just another book with words on the page. You could just be reading it because it's what you're supposed to do. Oh, I believe in Christ. I'm supposed to be reading the Bible every day. You could read the same passage every day over and over again and never fully really understand it. Because spiritual blindness, hear me on this, spiritual blindness steals our understanding. It steals our understanding. And many times we just see and understand things from a physical standpoint and not a spiritual one. But I believe God would have us see both. Amen? Y'all still with me? So let me start out right here and give you some scriptures about spiritual blindness. I'm gonna give you three things that cause spiritual blindness. Three things that cause spiritual blindness and will steal our understanding, okay? So this is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 18 through 20. It says, "Hear you deaf and look you blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening the ears, but he does not hear." So right here in this very short span of scripture, it tells us that you can have eyes to see and not really see. And then it says you can have ears to hear and not really hear. You can be a servant and a messenger of the Lord, but if you are one who thinks that they are perfect, or in other words, if you think you are there and you know all there is to know about God and all there is to know about his word, then this says, if you think you're perfect, you're spiritually blind. And you will not actually see or hear what God may be trying to say to you through it. So if you read the whole chapter of Isaiah 42, in the fullness of its context, you will know that he's talking about being spiritually blind. So this is the first cause that can lead to spiritual blindness: pride, self-righteousness, arrogance in knowledge. I already know it all. That can lead and cause spiritual blindness. Let me give you some more scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 5. Verses 21 through 23 says, "Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding," "who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass beyond it? And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. Now remember, I'm giving you three causes, three things that can cause spiritual blindness, and that's important because spiritual blindness or deafness can steal our understanding, okay? These three verses say very clearly what caused it, okay? That look, you can have eyes and see not, you can be spiritually blind. You can have ears and hear not, you can be spiritually deaf. And you don't have understanding because of that. Hear this now, O foolish people without understanding. So, what does this portion of Scripture say caused all that spiritual blindness? Rebellion. 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 But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They've revolted and departed. Here's another scripture to back that up. Ezekiel 12, verse 2. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, because they are a rebellious house. They're a rebellious people. So a second cause to spiritual blindness is rebellion. Let me give you a simple definition of rebellion. You can look it up in the dictionary, straight up Webster right there. This is what it'll say. Rebellion, the opposition to one in authority. Let me tell you, Jesus said this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. There's one in authority. There's all authority in his name. And guess what? He's given us authority to use his name and do great things in his name. But there's one who has authority. His name is Jesus, right? So if you're living a life that is opposing to him or is opposing to the way God's word says, because this is his word, and you know it, then what you're doing is you're living in open rebellion to the one in authority, and you're in danger of being spiritually blind. Being in rebellion to God's word is actually the opposite of abiding in God's word. And Jesus said this in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, or you are truly my disciples if you abide in my word. If you rebel against the word, what does that make us? So pride, y'all got quiet on me. I must be stepping on toes. Pride and religion can cause spiritual blindness. Rebellion can cause spiritual blindness. And the last example I'm going to give walks hand in hand with rebellion. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. Says, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. Why? Because they have sinned against the Lord. So here's the third cause of spiritual blindness, and that's walking in known sin. That's part of rebellion. They go hand in hand. But walking in known sin. Now that seems pretty cut and dry, doesn't it? It should be. But that whole topic has been misconstrued in a lot of current church culture. Right? There are those who would teach and preach, hey, we all sin, and we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then they'll say, it's okay, just do what your heart desires. God's grace abounds. Well, that goes directly against what Paul said. He said, should we keep on sinning? God forbid! God forbid that. No. So there are people that teach, hey, it doesn't matter what you do because, God's grace is abound. It abounds. There's more and more of it. And so you just live any way you want to and all's going to be good. No. Whoever teaches that, I say baloney. Hogwash. That's not what the word says and teaches in full context. That's taking God's word out of context for personal pleasure. Personal pleasure. And those who say or teach those things are spiritually blind because they've lost understanding. They lack understanding because spiritual blindness steals our understanding. Do not do what your heart desires. Do not do what your flesh desires. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Right? Just do what God's word says. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abide in his word. So listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. You can go to Matthew 13 if you want to. So I'm going to read a few scriptures from there. And Jesus in Matthew 13, he ties spiritual blindness to a lack of understanding to prove my point. And so if you go and you start with verse 10, his disciples ask him why he spoke in parables. Why do you speak in parables? And he answered and he said, because he wants them and all of us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to understand that. But to them, quote unquote, to them, it has not been given. So who are them? I can tell you who them are. Religious, self-righteous, rebellious, sin-walking people who are spiritually blind. Thinking they may know it all, but in reality, they don't know much at all. When Jesus told parables to those who were casual listeners or those who thought they were better than and those that opposed him, it was like the truth was veiled. They didn't understand. They're like, what? Right? But to those who committed to following Jesus, they may not have got it at first, but eventually understanding came, right? Always, it was like all of a sudden, the truth of all of it exploded in their minds and in their lives, and they had this great understanding of this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. So then in Matthew 13, verses 12 and 13, Jesus actually gives this principle of spiritual growth. This is what it says, verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Man, that sounds unfair. Jesus says this is a principle of the kingdom. It's a spiritual growth principle, though. Keep in mind, this is a spiritual growth principle. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Okay, spiritual growth principle. Jesus basically says, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So what does he mean by that? What does he mean by that? Because it doesn't seem right. Wait, that doesn't seem right? No, what he's saying is the spiritually receptive, those who have their spiritual eyes open, they understand more and more spiritual truth. As it comes to them, to he that has, more will be given, right? And they'll abound in understanding. So those that are spiritually receptive, they understand more and more spiritual truth. While those who do not pursue spiritual growth or truth, those who are spiritually blind, it says they actually go backwards. They go backwards. They got less and less. That makes sense to everybody? The more you want and you pray, God, open my spiritual eyes, the more truth, the more understanding you'll have. The more time you spend time in this word with your spiritual eyes open, the more understanding you'll have of the things of the kingdom of heaven. The less you say, oh, well, I already know all this, the less you don't spend time, the less and less you know. Okay? And then he goes on and he quotes Isaiah right here, verses 14 and 15. He says, and in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. You're spiritually deaf. And seeing you will see and not perceive. You're spiritually blind. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, listen, so that I should heal them. We're talking about spiritual healing. From spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness, lack of understanding. They gotta, unless they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. Hear me out. 700 years before Jesus ever came through the virgin birth, 700 years, the prophet Isaiah prophesied a time when the Messiah would come. This is what he says. He says that he would come and he would be made known to the Jewish people. He says that they would see and witness his miracles, signs, and wonders. He says that they would hear his great teachings and say, never has a man taught like this, right? They said it. And they would be able to see this with their own eyes, and they would be able to see all the ways that Jesus Christ would fulfill all the great prophecies in the Old Testament concerning him. Yet even so, as they saw it, they would not really see, hear, or understand it. And many of us sit here on the outside when we read that and we look in at that and we say, how dumb could they be? How dumb is that? How in the world could they be like that? How could they miss it? How could they not see it? It was right in front of their eyes. He did the miracles. He did the signs. He did the wonders right there in front of them. He brought them into the promised land, and he promised them through all of that, hey, a Messiah is going to come, but not just for them, but for all the nations of the world, Jew and Gentile alike, a Savior for the whole world. They read the scriptures daily. They were required to read the scriptures daily. Many memorized it. They knew it, and they knew the prophecies, and here he is doing all this, fulfilling it, and they don't see it. They don't hear it. They don't understand it. How dumb. How could they miss it? But let me ask you this. I wonder how many of us are just like them. We heard our parents. We've heard our grandparents. We've heard our great-grandparents. We've heard those in ministry that have gone before us. And we hear about all the great stories and the great moves of God and the testimonies and the signs and the miracles and the wonders that people have seen God do for them. We have people come in here and testify about the things that only God could have done. Hey, oh, the Lord did it. We've heard sermons, really good sermons from all kinds of people all over the place. And we hear the declarations that, hey, Jesus came, and guess what? Be ready, he's coming again. We see the prophecy of his word being fulfilled right now, the holy scriptures being fulfilled in our own day, in our own time, in our own culture. It seems like step by step, they are so precisely being fulfilled. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is grabbing people by the shoulders, and he's saying, wake up! Do you not see? Do you not hear what is going on? And then we say things like, oh, I've heard all this before. I've heard this my whole life. We got the Word of God. All of those prophecies are there, readily available for us to read, see, and understand. But we choose not to read it. We don't even read it for ourselves. And we say those things. Oh, I've heard all this before. It still hasn't happened yet. It's not going to happen, right? Jesus has been going to come back since the biblical days. He's going to come back since the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and 2000s, and he still ain't made it back. Maybe we don't say those things. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Maybe we do come to church. Maybe week in and week out, we raise our hands and we engage in our songs on Sundays. But outside of here, when we're away from the church, we do not live like he could come back at any moment. We do not live like anything his word says matters. We don't apply it. We don't abide in it like it's a part of our life. And before you know it, we miss it. We miss it. Here's my plea to you this morning. For goodness sake, don't miss it. We ask and we read and we say, how could they miss it? But I plead to you, let's not miss it. How do we miss it? How do we miss a lot of these things? When people receive God's word and then they fail to act upon it, this is what happens. Gradually, they become calloused to the things that the Holy Spirit was convicting them of, right? And the word of the Lord will come forth and it'll hit home. Oh, whoo, well, I'm just going to ignore that. Even though it hit home, you're like, I'm going to ignore that. And over time, your heart becomes calloused and dull. People begin, when their heart gets dull and calloused and stony and hard, then they begin to get veils and cataracts on their spiritual eyes. And they begin not able to hear spiritually what thus saith the Lord. So we don't need to ask, how could they miss it? We need to ask God, am I missing it? Am I missing something, Father? Give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Give me a heart and a mind to understand. A heart that will turn to you. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 13, 15. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. That when we turn, he heals us. What does that turn mean? It means to repent. To repent. And to repent is not just a confession. A lot of people just say, oh, I repented, and they offer lip service to God, and they never had a change of heart. The real word repent, yeah, I believe true repentance starts with confession. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. So true repentance does start with confession, right? But repentance is so much more than a confession. It is a turning, and it's a turning away from the things that gave cause for repentance and a turning into the things more so of God. It's changing the way you think about things. That's true repentance, is to turn and change the way you think. Oh, I don't want anything to do with that because I want to please the Lord. And it's not that I can't do that. It's just that I love him so much. This is so much better than that over there. I've had what this world has to offer, and then I've had what he has to offer, and what he has to offer is way better than what this left me with. It's a turning. It's a turning from the things of the world and a turning into the things of God. Man, you can come. I'm getting ready to close. You know what's so encouraging to me? Is that going all the way back to John chapter 9, we started with this story with the blind man. He's blind. He's been born blind. He's been blind since birth. And the first part of that says that he saw a man. He saw a man who had been blind since birth. This is my encouragement to you. No matter where you're at, what you got going on in life, he sees you. He sees you. God sees you. In the midst of what you're in, no matter how long you've been in it or going through it, this is what I want you to know. He sees you. Whether what you're going through is physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever. This is what I want you to know. In the middle of that, he sees you. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind since birth. I don't know how old this man was, but he was old enough to be called a man. And he'd been blind since birth. But just that simple statement, he saw a man. Jesus saw him. I want you to know he sees you. Wherever you're at, he sees you, and he's not judging you. He's wanting you to come to him, repent, so he can heal. Because it says, so at least they understand with their hearts, and they turn, they repent, and I heal them. He wants to heal you from everything you're dealing with. He wants to heal you. Others may see you and what you're going through, and they may see an opportunity for criticism and for ridicule. They may see an opportunity for theological and religious debates, almost like the disciples did at that moment. Oh, well, Master, Rabbi, Teacher, who sinned? What caused that man to be born blind? Did he sin? He wasn't even born. And then, did his parents sin? And Jesus said, no. That's caused the fallen world, but I'm going to heal him, and God's going to get the glory for it. Other people may look and judge and criticize and all that stuff, but he sees you and says, I got compassion on you. I want to heal you. Don't listen to all that other chatter. I come to heal you. Despite what others see and may say about you that don't understand your situation, where you've been, what you're going through, he sees you and he wants to heal you. But we got to turn to him. We got to turn to him. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. I believe that he's passing by this morning through the worship, through the word. It says, and he inhabits the praises of his people. He says, whether two or three are gathered, there I'll be in the midst. He's here. He's passing by. And through the word, he's saying, I see you. I see where you've been. I see where you're at. I see where you're headed. And I just want to help you. I just want to heal you. But I just need you to turn to me. Turn to me. If everyone would just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that you see us. I thank you that you're a God that's full of compassion, full of love, full of grace, full of mercy, and you want to heal your people in this house this morning, no matter what they're going through, God. Yeah, I know the topic was spiritual healing, but God, if they need physical healing, if they need emotional healing, if they need mental healing, this is what we know. You paid for it all, and you see them right where they're at. And I ask God, as you pass by, that they would recognize that you're here and that you're here to heal. And that they would turn to you with all of their hearts so their eyes, their ears, their minds, every part of them can be open to you. In Jesus' name, everybody just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed if you don't mind. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm lost. You talked about Jesus coming to save, seek and save that which is lost, and I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at in life right now. I don't. Know where I'm at in my spiritual walk. I don't know that I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I need him to save my soul. I need spiritual healing. If you're here this morning, you say, I need spiritual healing. I need Jesus to save my soul. Would you just throw your hand up and put it right back down? See it. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, listen, I've given my heart to Christ, but I can tell you this, that parable really got to me that Jesus told. That principle of the kingdom for spiritual growth. And I feel like maybe I've been going backwards. I'm not growing spiritually. And I need to get back on the right track. And maybe my heart's been growing a little bit dull. Not that I don't love the Lord, but I feel a dullness in my heart. I haven't had the passion that I once had, and I need to turn and relight the fire again in my heart for the Lord, for his kingdom. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down real quick. Yeah. I need that spiritual growth again. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Andrew, I love the Lord. I feel like I'm doing my best, but I'm just going through some stuff. And there are areas of my life that just, I need him to touch. I need healing. I don't care what area it is. It could be relationally, financially. It could be physical, whatever. You just say, I need a healing touch from Jesus. If that's you, throw your hand up. Put it right back down. I want y'all to stand with me and look at me. They're getting ready to sing. When they do, that means this altar's open. It's open right now if you want to come, right? This altar's always open. At Remnant Church, the altar's always open. I don't like this whole thing where we got away from opening up the altar or not even having an altar call. The altar is where the lives are changed. He can do it anywhere, but man, it's a chance for you to turn to him and you be healed. And so the altar's always open here, but when they start to sing, this is the altar call. If you raise your hand for any reason, and I saw hands raised for each question, right? This is no pressure. This is a moment where you get to choose that you're turning to him. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say, right? Let them say, let them chatter. I don't care. I'm turning to him so I can be healed, right? Because honestly, it has nothing else to do with it. It's between you and the Lord. We care too much about what people think. I stopped caring what people think a long time ago, especially up here. I just care what he thinks. And this is what I know. He thinks of you. He loves you. He sees you. He has compassion on you. He wants to heal you. So if you raise your hand for any reason, maybe you should have but didn't, as they start to sing, would you just turn to him? and let him heal you. Would you come here, turn to him, let him heal you. Y'all sing.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.